Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Hollywood Podcast, covering the latest in film, TV, streaming, and social media. I'm your host, Max Geschwind. Stay tuned for today's episode. Well, hello, everyone. Thanks for tuning into this week's episode. I'm so excited to be joined by Isabella Gomez and Nico Greetham. Isabella is best known for starring in Netflix's One Day at a Time, a remake of the iconic Norman Lear sitcom of the same name. She's gone on to star in shows such as The Head of the Class revival on HBO Max, The Goldbergs, and last year's film Aristotle and Dante Discover the Secrets of the Universe, where she co-starred with Eugenio Derbez and Eva Longoria. Nico broke out about 10 years ago as a contestant on So You Think You Can Dance, and from there went on to star in shows such as The Thundermans, Power Rangers Ninja Steel, and more recently, Hulu's Love, Victor, as well as American Horror Story as a series regular on Double Feature and American Horror Stories. They're both now performing together on stage at the Pasadena Playhouse in One Day at a Time creator Gloria Calderon Kellett's new play, One of the Good Ones. One of the Good Ones follows what happens when a Latina daughter brings her boyfriend home to meet the parents for the first time, and her family's biases and preconceptions are put on full display. Isabella, Nico, thank you for joining me today.
Hello, thank you for having us.
Yeah, so, that was impressive. Honestly, that was impressive. You said all that.
It's just as impressive resumes from the both of you. I'd love to start at the beginning of how you both got involved in this project. I'd imagine it was very different for both of you, given, Isabella, your long history already with Gloria. So I'd love to start with you. Can you share how you were first approached by Gloria about this play and what your first reactions were to the story?
Yeah, so Glow started working on this a while ago. She texted a few of us, like, actor friends that she has, and was like, I think I'm writing a play for the Pasadena Playhouse. It's a bit of a whirlwind. I need help workshopping it. So for, I want to say since September of last year, we had been regularly getting together and doing table reads with her and giving her thoughts. And I am Gloria's biggest fan. I think she's epic. I think everything she touches turns to gold. And so I've loved it from the beginning. And these are a lot of the conversations that we had anyway on the set of One Day at a Time, and that she's heard me have with my parents, because she's like been my boss for 10 years, but also been my family. And so Yoli is such a version of me and of Elena and of all of these characters that we love. And there wasn't a world in which I wasn't going to say yes to this if it was given to me.
And Nico, it's really hard to imagine anyone else but you playing the role of Marcos, given the similarity in the backgrounds between you and Marcos. Obviously, Marcos is a very much a white passing guy who identifies as Mexican, and you're also of Latino descent. I think you're half Colombian. So can you share how you got connected with Gloria and how you got involved in the project?
Yeah, I mean, I like a kind of a boring, normal actor story. I just got the audition from my theater agent, but I did read, you know, I read the synopsis and I read the character breakdown. I was like, whoa, wait, a white passing Latino? I was like, this is my time to shine. and I read the script and I was like, oh, I absolutely have to, I've got to go in for it. And so I just sent in a self-tape. And it was so funny. It was very kismet, though, because after the self-tape, they had scheduled chemistry reads, and probably like a month after the initial audition. And I met Gloria at an event. Mm-hmm. I came up to her and I was like, hey, like, my name's Nico. I auditioned for you and I have the chem read in a couple days. It's so nice to meet you. And she like basically did a backflip and was like, so nice. And was like, Nico, it's you. She was like, I can't wait for us to start doing a play. And then everyone who walked by, she would like grab them by the arm and be like, we're going to do a play together. Please meet Nico. And I was like, oh, like, did I book it? I was like,
she also then texted me and was like, I found your Marcos. And I was like, great.
And this was before the chem read, as you said, right? Yeah,
like 2 days before the chem read. And then we get to the chem read and they pair Isabella and I. And, you know, we had prepared 10 pages of an audition, you know, some scenes solo, some scenes with the two characters together. It was a pretty hefty like audition. And then we get in there and they're like, okay, Isabella and Nico, you're just gonna do the 1 2-page scene together. We did it once. They gave us notes. We like had a blast. We were hugging and like kissing already and like hugging and kissing the director and the writer. And it was like so, and I was like, wait, did we just book it?
Yeah. I think you
And
booked it before you even walked in the room, it sounds like.
I mean, thank God, because I'm so glad it was Isabella. I'm so glad it was
Yeah.
us. You know what I mean? It's just like, I'm really grateful. Anyway, yes,
Yeah.
that's my fault.
Isabella, I would love to expand on something you mentioned earlier in that you were able to identify so much with your character. And Nico, obviously, you said the same. Could you speak to how you were able to share some of the elements of this character with your own personal experiences?
Yeah. So what's interesting is that Glow has also gotten to shape me as a person. Like, it is truly like the life imitates art, art imitates life kind of thing. Because when I got to her and when I got to One Day at a Time, I did not know I was white passing. I was the most ignorant, the most like, I was 18 and dumb. And I came into this set where I was embraced and allowed to grow at my own pace and given this incredible character who gave me so many opportunities to get involved in different things. I became very politically involved and environmentally involved, and I kind of turned into a version of Elena for a long time, which is funny because while we were filming that, Yoli was happening in my household because I was up in arms just being like, let's do things and we're going to change the world. And my parents were like, what are you talking about? We've tried. Like, what are you doing? And so I have kind of lived the life of Yoli through Glow's writing anyway. And had a lot of these conversations not only with my blood family, but my chosen family on set. And it's always been multi-generational. It's always been everybody has very different opinions and are very willing and open and able to have conversations. And I've been very lucky in that way. So I very much related to the way that Yoli's allowed to like come for her parents' throats in a lot of ways. Because they do have an open dialogue and they do want to have those kinds of conversations, but they're not just gonna agree. And I love that. I love a little conflict.
Yeah. And Nico, expanding on what we were talking about earlier, I'm sure you've had so many people throughout your life surprised that you're, you know, of Latino descent, and being Colombian. Can you talk about maybe what you learned about yourself or aspects of the character of Marcos that you were able to relate to beyond that, I guess, superficial description of the character?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I am first generation American, and so I grew up in a like non-American household. I mean, my mom was born and raised in Colombia. My dad was born and raised in the UK. They met each other in their late 20s in Washington, D.C., and then had us. And so like my environment in my home was very non-American, and they kind of preached like all of our current surroundings is not everything. Like they were very much, my parents were, you know, they pushed travel on us. They were like, go see the world, go learn about culture, like learn about our culture and different culture, because this, like what's in front of you here isn't everything. And so I grew up like very, you know, I'm very blessed for like, you know, being pretty well traveled growing up with my family. And but I saw a lot of Colombia my whole life and a lot of my dad's side. And so I always was like, yeah, I'm Latino. But everyone's like, no, you're not. You're from DC and you're as white as literal Wonder Bread. Like you're not Latin. And then I would speak Spanish and they're like, whoa, superpower. And I'm like, well, like kind of, but also it was just so normal to me. And then coming to Hollywood, where it's very like stereotyped, and it's like if you're not tan, then you're not Latin, or brown, you're not Latin. And you know, me and my manager, who's also like a white passing Latino, have been out here being like, guys, like Latins do come in all different colors. And I know that I have, a lot of privilege being white presenting, and I'm not trying to diminish that, but it's been interesting to now be seen as a Latin and be like immersed in this Latin culture and all of like Latin Hollywood is like, I'm not like now invited to all the parties, and I'm like, wow, cool. I guess
Everyone's obsessed with him.
But
it's just.
that's so interesting that it probably is the first character in your career playing that actually matches your ethnicity, that you're playing a Latin character as someone who's Latin instead of just, a white character, which I'm sure is the case in nearly all the roles that you've had before. So I'm sure that that's such a amazing experience for you.
Yeah, it's been really, I'm so grateful that Glow has written this very fun character.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit more about working with Glow. Isabella, you've obviously been working with her for many years, but this is a different project. It's not one day at a time, and it's not television. It's live. It's the stage. I'd imagine you two have a shorthand by now in working together, and it's very easy compared to working with other new filmmakers. But can you share if there was at all a learning curve there in the relationship between the two of you now that you were working together in this new medium of the theater instead of TV?
Not at all in our relationship within the medium. If anything, she was the grounding force and what made it all make sense. I was very lucky that on One Day at a Time, even though it's TV, we had live audiences. So I'm very used to being in front of people. The real challenge was when you're filming a sitcom, you turn the audience into part of the show and you're going and talking to them in between takes. And if you mess up, you're turning to them and you're getting bloopers and you're doing all of this stuff that includes them and makes them cast members. Whereas on this, we've talked a lot about like, there are things that happen in the show that like Nico's crying, we're so emotional, and the audience is dying laughing. And you're like, you can't hear them. They're not there.
Right.
And that for me, I think, was the hardest shift. But luckily, I got to just really focus on that and on making sure I was filling the stage because, like you said, I have such a shorthand with Glow, and she got this incredible director, Kimberly Senior, who I immediately had shorthand with as well. And so I was never concerned about that. I was only ever concerned about me.
Right. But as you mentioned, and that's so interesting, you're no stranger to performing in front of an audience. It's the relationship with the audience that probably changed on this compared to One Day at a Time and trying to block them out and pretending that they're not there. Nico, you're no stranger to live theater. You've been on Broadway doing Newsies. But this is the first time you're working with Glow. Can you share what it was like working with her and especially amongst this ensemble, some of whom had pre-existing relationships with her?
Yeah, I actually am going to read this text that I sent Gloria like 4 hours ago.
Okay.
Because I haven't pulled up, I knew I was going to talk about this.
Yes, let's
I know.
hear
So glad you asked.
it.
but I was also telling this to Isabella. So Isabella is also thrown in here. But I said, I was telling this to Isabella on opening night, but both Gloria and Isabella created an environment filled with love and acceptance and laughs from the beginning that I felt comfortable enough to be myself and play and try new things. And I really do believe that without Gloria and Isabella's love and care, I could have crumbled. And so I am grateful for allowing me to play and find Marcos. And I do really stand by that sentiment. Like the environment and rehearsal space was so safe that I wouldn't change anything about it. Gloria and Isabella and the way they work is like it's fun and play is what drives it all. And all the stress is so minimalized by like the love that we all have for each other. And so I'm so grateful. I've also like I've never done a sitcom. I've never I wouldn't consider myself a comedian by any means as far as an actor goes, but like I felt so safe to try.
I mean, listen, I haven't read anything in depth, but I did read Nico Greatham's Standout. I did read Comedy King. I have been trying to get Nico from the beginning to be like, no, you're the funniest person ever. Can we talk about this?
But it's only because Gloria and Isabella and Kimberly Senior and I mean everyone in the cast, but like they just it was all full of love and acceptance, and I was able to be myself. And you know, if there's no fear, then you kind of just like go for anything. It's just been really fun. So
Well,
grateful.
we can't talk about this supportive ensemble without talking about the two actors that play your parents, these legends. Let's talk about Lana Parrilla, who we all know as the evil queen in Once Upon a Time, who plays Isabella's mother in the show, and Carlos Gomez, who was in the original Broadway cast, I think, of In the Heights, and he's gone on to be in some big shows like ER and NCIS and Big Sky. What was it like for the both of you working with these two, these vets in the industry, and anything you're taking from them or they're imparting on you as you know you move forward in your career from this experience?
We're like, who wants to go first?
Yes. Isabella, you're the daughter.
I'm the daughter. It's my
So,
family.
yeah.
Nico, move aside. No, they're incredible. I mean, I remember walking in week one and we were all bouncing on yoga balls, being absolute idiots. Lana cried every day for the beginning week, was so emotional. Like, it just felt so. We all were already there. We already wanted to play, and there was no egos coming in. There wasn't any, like, they did not feel like Hollywood legends coming in. It was truly like, oh, here's the cast, and we all get to do this thing. And we're also so very conscious of like the state of our industry and the state of our community's representation in our industry. And so I think we all knew from the beginning that this was way bigger than us. And we also knew that Gloria is like the best person you can work with and that we were going to have the best time. And we just also so happened to be five people because Santino too has been such an integral part of the cast. The five of us can just talk to each other and we're very blunt and we're very straightforward and we ask for what we need. And it's paid off in that everybody has been like, oh my God, you guys have had this beautiful, specific relationship with each other. And it's because there was no time to bullshit. We just had to go. So that's what we did. And it's been awesome.
Yeah, I mean, literally like the show. It's true, open and honest dialogue. And we like make jokes about it all the time. It's like the family aspect of it what did not have to be found. It was like the second every single person walked in the door was like, this is family reunion over and over again. And you know, Lana, I've never experienced this before, but Lana Faria gets 900 gifts a day
Oh, wow.
A day.
fans. And I'm not kidding. There was like, there'd be a wheelbarrow, like a wagon full of gifts every day. Be like, Christmas at 4 p.m. everybody. And then Lana would be like, please, everyone gather around. And she would, and then they were like, she's so generous with her gifts. And she would like, it would like become this. I felt like we did Christmas every day as a family.
Every day, she genuinely was like, these are not for me, these are for us. Let's
Yeah.
open our gifts.
Well, for my last question about the show, obviously it's just so timely that this has premiered just a few months after Norman Lear's passing. And I know Gloria is like seen so widely as like the heir to his style and the issues that he brings up. Can you talk about I guess the influence that this show specifically he had on it? Or that Gloria might have mentioned during the process.
Everything he touches, he puts himself into, and he cares so deeply. And his style is so genius. And there is a reason why he was on the president's enemy list and why he had seven out of the top 10 TV shows in America at one point. Like, his vision is so right. Like, the way that we always talk about, like, the way that you have hard conversations is through comedy. That is how you disarm people. That is how you let people put their guards down and feel heard and feel less pressure and tension. And especially with the climate that our country has been in for the past decade or forever, it's so important to have spaces of gentleness and of openness and of play so that people can feel safe enough to converse. and to make mistakes and to ask questions and to be able to be like, I have no idea what this means. And Glow carries that into everything she makes, which is also why I'm always like, I say yes to anything Glow ever wants to put me in, because there's not a lot of work like hers out there, especially now that Norman's gone. And it absolutely is infused, and she doesn't even have to talk about it, but we talk about it all the time. And we, on opening night, I was backstage and did a little prayer and was like, Grandpa Norman, like, help us be funny. And then when I got back out after, so many people brought up Norman to me, and I'm just so sure that he was there with us. And we try to make him proud every day with everything we make.
No, yeah, I mean, I think that one of the good ones is just such a beautiful representation of his influence on Glow's work, and the fact that even though he's gone, his message and his just tone and style and central element of the family having difficult conversations, that's being carried on by people like Glow, even though he's gone. It's just such a It's such a wonderful thing to see, and it's through this show. Congratulations again to the both of you on this show. It plays at the Pasadena Playhouse through April 7th, and you both are doing an amazing job on it. And we look forward to what we have to expect next from the both of you as we continue on into 2024. But yeah, I appreciate the time.
Thank you.
Thank you, man. Yeah.
All right.
Thanks so much for tuning in. Please take a moment to subscribe to the Hollywood Podcast for free on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Until next time, you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Max Geschwind. Thanks for listening.